New first officer requirements are coming. The House passes the Small Plane Revitalization Act, and more data released on the Asiana SFO crash. This is Aero News for Thursday, July the 11th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The FAA announced Wednesday that it plans to publish soon the final rule that will increase the qualification requirements for first officers who fly for U.S. passenger and cargo airlines. The new rule will require first officers to hold an airline transport pilot certificate, requiring 1,500 hours total time as a pilot. Previously, first officers were required to have only a commercial pilot certificate, which requires 250 hours of flight time. The rule also requires first officers to have an aircraft type rating, which involves additional training and testing specific to the airplanes they fly. The new regulations stem in part from the tragic crash of Colgan Air 3407 in February 2009 and address a congressional mandate in the Airline Safety and Federal Aviation Administration Extension Act of 2010 to ensure that both pilots and co-pilots receive the ATP certification. In making the announcement, newly seated Secretary of Transportation Anthony Fox said, quote, "Safety will be my overriding priority as Secretary, so I am especially pleased to mark my first week by announcing a rule that will help us to maintain our unparalleled safety record. We owe it to the traveling public to have only the most qualified and best trained pilots," end quote. The U.S. House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee on Wednesday unanimously passed the Small Airplane Revitalization Act of 2013. The bill directs the FAA to implement the FAA's Part 23 Reorganization Aviation Rulemaking Committee recommendations by December 31, 2015. The ARC's goal, as stated by FAA Administrator Michael Huerta, was to double safety and cut certification cost in half for light general aviation airplanes. A companion bill is pending in the Senate. Both GAMA and the NBAA applauded the bill's passage. The pilots flying Asiana Flight 214 that went down on landing at San Francisco's International Airport have told federal investigators that they had properly set the auto throttles on the Boeing 777 for approach, according to a report in the Los Angeles Times. Data gathered from the flight data recorder indicates that the 777 was flying 30 knots below the target 137-knot approach speed during the visual approach. The ILS system for KSFO was inoperative at the time of the accident while it's being relocated, but the NTSB and FAA have said that the localizer and other systems were functioning properly. NTSB Chairman Deborah A.P. Hersman said in a briefing that Lee Kang Kook was in the left seat for the approach. He was being supervised by Lee Jung Min, who had been certified as a training pilot in the type on June 15th. The relief first officer was in the cockpit jump seat monitoring the approach. Hersman said that setting the auto throttle does not absolve the pilots from the responsibility of monitoring the approach. At a media briefing in Seoul Tuesday, South Korean President Yoon Young-doo said the pilots were quote-unquote excellent and well-qualified to make the approach into KSFO. The X-47B Unmanned Combat Air System demonstrator completed its first-ever carrier-based arrested landing on board the USS George H.W. Bush off the coast of Virginia yesterday. Wednesday's demonstration was the first time a tailless, unmanned, autonomous aircraft landed on a modern aircraft carrier. The Navy says this test marks an historic event for naval aviation that Navy leaders believe will impact the way the Navy integrates manned and unmanned aircraft on the carrier flight deck in the future. The FAA says in an online notice that it is phasing out direct sales of paper charts as of this month. The agency said it is taking this action to, quote, reduce costs, improve efficiencies, and enhance and modernize the service provided to customers and the aviation community, end quote. According to the notice, effective July 1, 2013, as current subscriptions expire, we are discontinuing our direct-to-the-public subscription sales of paper aeronautical charts and related paper products. Current subscriptions will be filled through their applicable expiration date, and we will continue to offer individual paper sales through our aeronav.faa.gov website until October 2013. With the growth of the World Wide Web and advances in personal computing devices, pilots have relied increasingly on digital aeronautical products rather than traditional paper charts. After October 1, 2013, the FAA will discontinue all other direct-to-the-public individual sales of paper aeronautical charts, and all future individual purchases and subscriptions will be sold expressly through the FAA's worldwide network of authorized chart sales agents, of which there are currently some 400 in number. When AeroNews continues, GPS, it's getting better all the time. Learning about life and exploration on the ISS, and a personal compact aerial vehicle from down under.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, July the 11th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The Global Positioning System, which millions of people, including many pilots, use every day for precise navigation and timing, recently became more accurate and reliable as the fourth Boeing GPS 2F satellite began operating in the U.S. Air Force network. Launched on May 15th, that satellite was handed over to the Air Force after 19 days of post-launch validation tests. SVN-66, the official name of the new satellite, is now part of the active 31-satellite network. The next GPS 2F, the fifth of 12 planned, is slated for launch in October. The new satellite replaces an earlier Boeing-built model, launched back in 1996. The American Aeronautical Society, in cooperation with NASA and the Center for the Advancement of Science in Space, will conduct the second annual International Space Station Research and Development Conference, July 16th through 18th in Denver. The theme of the conference is, quote, Discoveries, Applications, and Opportunities, end quote. It's the only annual conference offering details on the full breadth of research and technology development on the space station, including the full suite of prospects for future research over the life of the station. Plenary sessions will discuss top station discoveries in microgravity, benefits and applications in earth science, materials and education, uses of the station for medical advancements and earth applications, and station technology applications for future space exploration. Parallel technical sessions will include findings from the life, physical earth and space sciences, human research, education, and technologies enabling exploration. Scientists will receive updates on significant accomplishments within their areas of expertise. Among the keynote speakers, astronaut Don Pettit will share his experiences living and working aboard the orbiting outpost. The conference will include a workshop designed to help interested users develop their own ideas for experiments aboard the space station. Potential future station users will learn what they can accomplish, how to get started, and sources for funding. At a first glance, the U-Fly, personal compact aerial vehicle, looks like a big inner tube with a seat. Developed by the Australian company Inteco, the aircraft is designed to be an, quote, affordable, true, all-terrain, environmentally friendly flying vehicle that is designed for fun, end quote. The company has released a YouTube video commercial for the U-Fly that directly targets skydivers, kiteboarders, and downhill skiers. Inteco says on its website that the vehicle was designed after research showed that the market was ripe for such an aircraft, provided that environmental issues such as noise and terrain damage were minimal. The U-Fly is a fly-by-wire aircraft that would not require a pilot's license to operate. The company says that a very realistic simulator would be used for training, and that at least three successful sim flights would be required before allowing a customer to fly the aircraft. It will normally be programmed not to exceed about 6 feet in altitude. However, the company does say that the device can be reprogrammed to allow it to go higher, and that a pilot's license, quote, may be required, end quote, for such applications. They hope to have the U-Fly available for sale on the international market by 2015. Oh, and the company is currently offering position options to prospective buyers. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.